Oh, I gotta ask you. I know we recording. Okay. So for those who don't know, for those who know, we record on Sundays, and we normally record on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. But I had the kids this morning.
Yeah.
The wife painted the hallway and shit. I woke up to like paint and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was a long morning. The Bears lost, but the Chicago Sky won.
Yeah, Candace.
So it was like glass half full. But currently right now, Versus is on. With KRS-One versus Big Daddy Kane. And Nice and Smooth is out here. And Greg Nice is about to get his joints off right now. Just letting you know, he's getting his joints off. But you've been around a lot of these older cats, especially the DJs. Is Kid Capri voice really that
Absolutely.
High?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's one of the only DJs that I know of, as far as what I've seen and heard from mixtapes or CDs to actual live performances, he literally sounds like that. He sounds like the vocal recording. When it's the kick up, like, cause you know, obviously he comes, well, not obviously, but for those that don't know, he's in Indianapolis every single year to DJ the White Party.
Right.
But he also sometimes does the free concert. So I've had the pleasure of hearing Kid Capri's voice like a few times. And I'm like, wow. I was like, man, he really still sounds like he did in like in 94. And like, he really sounds like he does like on, it's like that on the Jay-Z, on the Jay-Z album, on the Hard Knock Live joint.
Cause I was sitting there like, yo, his voice is kind of, when he talking normal, it's kind of high pitch.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay, real quick versus battle before we get started. Real quick versus battle in wrestling.
Yeah.
No, we did this with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels one day. Mm-hmm. So I have another one for you. All right.
Let's see what we got here.
How about Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes? Which one you want?
You know what? I'll go Dusty.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. I got to pick the matches, though, don't I?
Yeah, you gotta pick the match. See? Yeah, you gotta pick the match.
No, I don't. I won't front. Yeah,
you
I gotta
get rich.
Go right.
See, yeah, I got you.
But
go ahead.
The thing
get
is, though, I know Dusty beats Rick. I just can't name all the matches. That's why I want to
Star
K. Dusty.
Star K. Damn, I gotta get in my thinking cap. All right, so I'm gonna go first since you gave me Dusty. Mm-hmm. Since you picked the wrestler, I'm gonna go first. Dusty Rhodes match. Let's go. And when we give y'all these matches, man, hopefully y'all look at some of these shits. So, shit, let's go Starrcade. The $1 million challenge. Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair. I go ahead and go with that one first.
Okay.
Which, that match is a dope match, Starrcade. A real dope match. So, I get that's the one I throw out there first. Which Ric Flair match you got? We going to go three.
Okay. Oh, well, shit. Well, that makes it even easier for me. I would say the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat. I think it's the third one where they actually go 60 minutes.
Okay, that's Great American Bash, I believe.
I think so.
No, because it's Chi-Town Rumble, where Ricky wins. Mm-hmm. Then it's Clash of the Champions, the 2 out of 3 falls match. Yeah, I believe it's Great American Bash because then that's when Terry Funk comes out and whoops the shit out of Ric Flair.
Yeah. Yep.
There's that one. Pop drives him on the table and it didn't break. All right. So I'll go Dusty Rhodes versus Tully Blanchard. Diggas U.S. Championship. Another star came. I mean, another, another, I think this is star came, too. So yeah, I'll go with that one too. And it's, what's crazy is Dusty Rhodes versus the Four Horsemen used to smack.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But they used to fuck him up. Like, they used to beat Dusty Rhodes' ass. Like, break his leg. Like, they used to do too much shit to him. Like, that's when Ric Flair came off the top rope with the knee. And they had took off the boot. And fucked his ass up. And you're like, yeah. So, yeah, I'll give you that one for Dusty. Y'all go ahead and watch that Dusty versus Tully. Yeah.
Okay, so then you got that one. So you know what? I'm going to go Monday Night Raw. Loser leaves WWF at the time. Mr. Perfect versus Ric Flair. That is probably, for that for a long time for me, was the greatest Monday Night Raw match, like, period.
They showed that show on Superstars, too. That's how I watched it.
So, yeah.
I didn't have cable at the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Perfect versus Flair.
I ain't had cable at the time. So. All right, man. So I'm going to go WWF, even though people talk a lot of shit about Dusty Rhodes and the WWF. Mm-hmm. You know what? Nah, I ain't going to go WWF. I'm going to stay WCW. Okay. I'm going to say Fall Brawl, War Games. Okay. Dusty Rhodes, Dustin, the Nasty Boys versus Harlem Heat. Bunkhouse Buck, R. Anderson. They had Mean come through. That's when Mean came through. And it's something that I'll never forget some shit that you said in the archives. When I say, I randomly think about this shit when I see him. How you said that he was like one of the best jobbers ever when you think about it. Because Mean never won like a meaningful match. As Ming especially. Now, as Haku, he won the tag team championships, the Colossal Connection, but that was the only belt he ever held. He was King Haku for a minute, but do you even remember him beating Harley Race? I think it was to become King. Nope. Even though a match happened, you don't remember that shit, but like Ming will fuck everybody up, and then you have a match with Ming, and then you miraculously win that shit. So it's like, what was the point? Like, he came in that War Games, and Tony Schiavone was acting like this nigga was about to kill everybody, and then he killed everybody in War Games, and he never won a world title. Like, he's the person that you build as a monster. And don't do shit with the monster. Like, y'all motherfuckers talk shit about Braun Strowman, but at least Braun Strowman won belts. Right. Ming, I don't even think Ming held the U.S. championship or the TV championship. And, like, if you looked up his championships in WCW and WWF.
Mm-hmm. Now it's on the half sheet.
Yeah, like, Ming and Barbarian didn't. Like, Ming and the Barbarian didn't win shit. The Faces of Fear.
Yeah.
How you give them that name and don't do shit with it? All right, man. That's the prelude to what we're about to go ahead and get into. Hold on.
I didn't get my last match.
Did. My bad.
It's all good. So, obviously, the low-hanging fruit here would have been Ric Flair, the 1993 or 1992 Royal Rumble. I'm not going to do that. Because I'm a fan. Clash of the Champions, Beautiful Bobby versus Ric Flair. I'm still not going to do that, even though I love that match. What I'm going to do is match War Games for War Games, because one of my favorite Ric Flair matches, even though he's not even the highlight of the match, is just what happened. It's the Four Horsemen that I end up watching, which is Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Sid Vicious, and Barry Windham versus Flying Brian Pillman, RIP, the Steiner Brothers, and Sting with Elegante. Coming out after one of the scariest power bombs ever in life ends the match.
And that's the Four Horsemen with Larry Zbyszko.
Ah, yes. Yeah. That's right. Because I'm on the Horsemen with
That's the first pay-per-view I ever bought. 1999. I still watch that for nostalgia purposes.
Yes.
But yeah, that's the first pay-per-view. That's the first pay-per-view I ever bought.
There you have it.
War Games 91.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In Phoenix, I think it was. It was either Phoenix or Scottsdale.
Scottsdale, I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it was one of those. That's when Doom broke up. Mm-hmm. And then right after it, they asked the black kid, who did he come to see? Who's his favorite wrestler? He was like, Doom. And then Jim Ross' ass was like,
man. You've been watching.
Ain't your favorite no more.
Yeah.
Man, fuck you, Jack.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, man. Shit, let's go ahead and kick us off.
For sure. Burr. Happy 10/17 day. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
If you are engulfed in the hip-hop culture as we are, you know what I'm saying? as a wise, well, somewhat wise man of some aspects. Gucci Mane said, don't get lost in the sauce out here on 1017. But it is time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. You already got a preview of that in our warm-up there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, of course, it's time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm Cam from the Port.
And I'm JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at FBC_POD. Actually, shouts out to Jonathan Hood. The phone just rang. Shouts out to Jonathan Hood and Phil Lindsley. Phil Lindsley actually is from the crib. He's from Chicago. He writes for Bleacher Report Wrestling. He has his own podcast called the Graspity Podcast. I think it's with Fightful Select and stuff. So shouts out to him. He's from the crib. He had put out a tweet, which is true, you know what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to us, because I know a lot of people might listen to our takes and disagree, because especially the way we talk, we don't care. It's what it is. But here's one of the reasons why we don't care. It's just his tweet is real. I've been thinking about this for a while, and that's why I blurted it out at the end of the pod on Saturday. Black voices in wrestling media are not monolithic. We don't have to agree. I am no less black because I don't subscribe to a certain way of thinking, and neither does anyone else. There's so many black podcasts you can support. My bad if I didn't mention you in the shout out, but I want us to succeed. If you don't have, I mean, you don't have to like me or anything, but I say we have a shared goal to bring in more representation in wrestling. He led off with his podcast and other podcasts to listen to. And then, you know, shouts out the Hood. He shouted us out. And Phil just followed us. And let me say this, because no, we have other things to talk about. Right. So make sure you follow us on First Black Champ, FBC.POD on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. And make sure you follow the Barbershed Digital. Follow, subscribe, all of that stuff on Apple, Spotify, all of those things. First Black Champ is on the Barbershed Network, so that's where you can listen to it. So I'm glad that I saw that tweet, because I just want to remind people. And using the term that I use on my other podcast, Some Dude Pod, what we listen to don't make you bop. What we watch don't make you cheer. Mm-hmm. All right. So when we say these things about AEW, because I know last week we were pretty critical and some people agree with it, some people didn't. But when we say certain things, we, especially when it comes to these things, one thing, and it ties into what I want to start the show off with. Which is the greatest Friday in wrestling history for you little niggas. So I saw a lot more of this than expected, and it made me smile. Yeah, on Friday, AEW and WWE technically went head to head for the first time. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes of SmackDown was going to run over in a supersized SmackDown. 30 minutes of it ran, 30 minutes late, the last 30 minutes ran into the first 30 minutes of AEW Rampage.
Okay.
Also, Tony Khan put up a YouTube version of the buy-in, which had Lee Morinati going up against Bobby Fish and Minoru Suzuki versus Daniel Bryan. So this was the first time technically they went head-to-head. But you know what I saw more often than not, Cam, that made me smile? Basically a lot of tweets and a lot of posts about, look, we don't give a fuck about ratings.
Nice.
Give a fuck about the product.
Nice.
And it made me feel like, okay, finally you motherfuckers is not, that mean is you motherfuckers is getting it. Mm-hmm. This has never been, and I mean never been, there's never been a time where we got this much wrestling at this much time, mm-hmm. at the same time, all of that. Like let's look at before Monday Night Raw and Monday Night Nitro had the battle. Mm-hmm. You before Raw, you had primetime wrestling. You had superstars. Depending on where you was at, you had wrestling channels for WWF. For WCW, you had WCW Saturday Night. You had WCW Main Event. And if you, like me, you know, were able to look at WGBO Channel 66 back in the day, you had in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, you had just World Championship Wrestling. They did not come on at the same time. So I could watch all of these shits and not have to worry about no competition. Now, when you get older, you realize, like, the Royal Rumble and the Clash of the Champions was at the same time. Or I think it was SummerSlam 94 that went up against a Clash of the Champions. You start to find out, about WrestleMania 4 and how that shit went. But you in the moment. You watching wrestling. You don't even fucking. And if you got cable and your parents let you order SummerSlam 94, you watched it. Or you didn't. And you just was like, fuck it. I'm going to watch the Clash of the Champions.
Right.
Especially if you was in Chicago, because SummerSlam 94 opened up the United Center.
Yeah.
I say all that to say, Friday was, in some people's opinion, the greatest Friday in wrestling in their day. And not only was it dope to have people's do that, the matches weren't bad either. Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch, main event at SmackDown. That's the one, and that's also one of the things that made me smile. Because normally in this situation, you'll have the big dog Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and the contract signing would be that and all that stuff. No, Vince was like, yo, I'm bringing out the big dog. You know who the big dog was? The same big dog when NXT was trying to do the thing with AEW. Sasha Banks.
Boss up.
And it was a pretty good match with her and Becky Lynch. At the same time, you had CM Punk go up against Matt Sydal in what looked to be a dope match too. So when you hear everything that I just told you, Kemp, SmackDown versus AEW, Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch on one side, on the other side, AEW, you got CM Punk versus Matt Sydal. And looks like to me at the same time, two dope matches going on. And I saw a lot of people that had the TV on at one channel and the iPad on the other, which was even better. So when you hear that, like, what are your thoughts?
I think people are finally getting the hint or the notion, if you will, that AEW and WWE ain't the same thing. And even though a lot of the comments amongst wrestlers in both organizations are a little snarky at times, they are making it crystal clear that, hey, that ain't this, this ain't that, and bitch, I'm strapped. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So, and finally, because, you know, obviously I'm only messing with a wrestling Twitter on the First Black Champ Twitter handle. And it is refreshing to finally get through now, I'm going to say 2 weeks of wrestling, maybe even three, but 2 weeks for sure, where it was more product comparison. No, I won't even say actual product comparison, but there's been no ratings talk. There's no, oh, this is over for them, or it's, they about to take over. It's just, hey, him and him wrestled, him and her, or him and them, all of they wrestled, and yo, it's dope. It's a, what a time. It's, you know, the right. Conversation is just in a more positive space. And it's finally people are getting at, hey, man, man, woman, no matter what city they headquarters is at, they just here to entertain us with the wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, they here to give us the product. You just got to smoke the product, bro. You ain't got to do nothing else. You ain't got to figure out the cost of the baggies. You know what I'm saying? You just got to.
That's definitely a great way of putting it.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to hit the product, bro. You ain't got to worry about what if I use Saran.
Keep that blue.
You know what I'm saying? Or Ziploc. You ain't got to worry about none of that. Like, this is for you. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I forgot I got a lighter over here. I don't never use
it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's all you got to do. Put that in your veins. Put that dip in your veins.
I'm not putting shit in my veins. Yeah. I'm still scared of needles.
No, hey, likewise. So I understand. I'm not scared of them. I'm just anxious. I'm not as anxious as I used to be, though.
I'm still.
So, but back, we digress as we get back here. First Black Champ Podcast. We do talk wrestling here, not just drug usage. Yes. Yeah, man. Again, I'm happy to see it finally leveling out. And maybe that's the, I just blame all the people that became wrestling fans in 2004. Like, that's what I blame. You know what I mean? Because they don't know the time. They know the acquisition of WCW, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know shit else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because, like, you think about it, right? If you start, let's just say at 2004, you were 5 years old, right? Yeah. So now you're in your 20s. And y'all are the goofballs that are like, oh, yeah, WWE is in the shitter because AEW is existing. Like, and it's like, no, bitch, like, you don't even get it. Like, before you even got here, before your dad decided to let off in your mom's vagina, my nigga, before that happened, we were watching 2, 3, 4 programs then. It's just that the big dogs were the WCW and the WWF at the time.
Man.
But there was still, like, you could still watch wrestling on ESPN Classic. You had ECW. You had, like, you had, and New Japan was still a thing then. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, because even you saying that, and I just want y'all to be clear about this, right? Mm-hmm. So y'all can really understand what Camp is talking about. I remember coming home, latchkey kid shit, mm-hmm. and AWA or USWA would be on ESPN. Like, I remember being excited to pop, like, see some new wrestling shit pop up.
Right.
Like, you knew WCW, you knew what WCW, NWA, you knew WWF. Mm-hmm. But, man, when you come home and it's Jeff Jarrett versus Steve Austin, you're like, where the fuck this shit come from?
Right.
Who's this?
Right.
Who is this? And I talked about this on the show a couple of months ago. Check the archives, how. I think for me, considering what they said, how their career started, mm-hmm. and where it started, mm-hmm. Stone Cold Steve Austin might be the one wrestler who I saw from pillar to post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he said the USWA days is where he got his start. I'm like, well, shit, you see your ass on ESPN with the long hair, yeah. and the colorful ass tights,
yeah.
with the white chick on your arm, and you used to do the slingshot suplex to win. Mm-hmm. If that's how you started, if that's where you started, I watched you from day one. So I'm literally a day one Steve Austin person, mm-hmm. because when Steve Austin went to the WCW, I was like, yo, he was just in the USWA a couple of weeks ago. And then when he went, then he cut the hair. He had the little bob and shit.
Yeah.
He had the little rich man bob and shit. Like, oh, shit, he cut his hair. And then he became a member of the Dangerous Alliance. Like, oh, okay, he about to get his shine and shit now. And then he was with the Stud Stable with Colonel Rob Parker for a minute. And then he just disappeared. And then I was watching ECW one night. Because the ECW used to come on in Chicago at like 1. Mm-hmm. And like me, Chris, shouts out to my homies Chris and Mario, we'd be playing the game and shit. We'd be playing Tecmo Bowl or Madden late. Mm-hmm. And especially if I spent the night over there after party, we go microwaves, taco salad, then boom. And then next thing you know, it's ECW on. And we like, oh, shit. They're going to Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. And then you see him a couple of weeks later as ringmaster. Then he becomes the biggest wrestler of all time. Right. I bring that up for this reason and this reason alone. I don't think people are in the moment when it comes to wrestling anymore. Mm. And that sucks. Yeah. And Friday was the first time where it was like, all right, cool, it's back to that. Right. Because motherfuckers are like, man, fuck the ratings, let's watch this shit. Right. But, man, especially as being a almost 40-year-old, I remember going to school and motherfuckers being like, yo, you see the new dude, The Undertaker? Like, oh, man, that's me and Mark Callis. And not even being a nerd about it, because you watch this shit.
Right, it's just because you've seen it.
You've seen it, and it felt good to see. Like, I think for me, it felt, I know the wrestlers, you know, when they debut and all that stuff, but it felt good for me to see wrestler A go from here to here. Mm-hmm. And it felt good finding tapes. I remember when I found the big event for the first time and was like, wait a minute, I ain't never seen this event. What the fuck is this? Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff. When they do this? they'll never talk about that. Oh, it came out in 86, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I wasn't. Let me rent this. And then I go take this, and my father looking at me crazy like, nigga, you just rented some shit from 1986? Nigga, it's 1994. Yup, I did. Yeah. Go ahead. Boom. Pop that tape in. Right. Oh, shit. And you start seeing names that you never saw in the WWE ring. Mm-hmm. Like, what's my man name? Not Dick Slater. Yeah, Dirty Dick Slater. Mm-hmm. Like, you see Dirty, and he was a face. I ain't never seen Dick Slater as a good guy. Yeah.
Whenever Dirty Dick is a face, you know it's problems.
Right, he was a face. That's what she said. But, like, he was a good guy. You like, I ain't never seen this shit. Like, Jake the Snake Roberts versus a rent. Like, Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ricky Steamboat. Mm-hmm. My cousin used to tell me about that feud because he was like, yo, that was the one time the DDT was used wrong. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat almost died. Now, like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I wish I had the tape. Yeah, you go watch Big Event. Now, then you looking like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. And then watch the documentary.
Yeah, man.
It's like, oh, shit. Yeah. It's for real, for real.
Like, hey, but what's so wild is Jake was like, man, you sure you want to do this out here? Like, I don't think you get it.
I don't think you, like, you do this wrong.
Yeah, like.
You could die.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, just listen to the thud. I'm like, God damn. So, yeah, like, I think when I see, basically what I'm saying is, man, just to put this part in the bow before we talk about SmackDown and AEW a little bit.
Yeah.
I think wrestling fans will never, will never get that. They'll never understand why Vince McMahon will get $9.99 forever.
Mm.
Well, now it's Peacock, so we ain't got to worry about that. It's built into the price. Yeah. But he would have got $9.99 forever for me.
Yeah, facts.
And it wasn't because of the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that you get. It wasn't going to be because the shit that happened every Sunday night.
Right.
It was going to be because I can go all the way back to the fucking 70s. Mm. To see wrestling. And for somebody like me who really loves wrestling, it's fun to go back. It's fun to go back to the times that you didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. To see some of the wrestlers being who they were then. Like, it was great. Like, nigga, Don Morocco, when we was growing up, was a fucking jobber, my nigga.
Yeah, basically.
We didn't know this nigga is a former Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. Nigga Tito Santana, a former Intercontinental Champion, mm-hmm. my nigga. We see that shit then. We're like, fuck out of here, nigga. Mm-hmm. But then in the Intercontinental Championship title, it's like, yeah, he's a former Intercontinental Champion. Then you're like, when he have it?
Right.
Like, nigga, he won, he had it, and then Macho Man took it from him. Nigga, when was Macho Man? Oh, you ain't seen WrestleMania 3 yet? No. When was that? Oh, like, it was fun with those moments, mm-hmm. seeing those things, mm-hmm. and really seeing the popping start circumstance. See the world of wrestling really being built at that time. Mm-hmm. Seeing Ric Flair go up against all these people and all that stuff, and really just like these people see it with Roman Reigns, but they don't feel it, mm-hmm. because when we was watching that shit, it was a privilege to watch it. Now when people, as you just said, born in 2004 and that in their 20s, when they watch it now, because, and I blame this on the WWE and WCW, because of the Monday Night Wars and all of that shit, they think of that shit all as a competition.
Right.
They think of all that shit as like, yo, you have to be one or the other. They think about that tribalism, mm-hmm. shit, and they don't really understand that the inner workers of wrestling, somehow, some way, you're going to work with the other company. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a conversation with the other company. So they laughing at y'all because what y'all doing is drumming interest between them two. But at the same time, nigga, like, look, if a nigga was like, Vince McMahon said he didn't want to talk to you until your contract was done.
Right. So I letting you know, like, yeah, hang on, get your money.
Get your shit together.
You know what I'm saying? Get your money, get your stuff right, man. We here.
Yeah,
we ain't going nowhere.
Like, nigga, the brain busters popping up in WWF for the first time now. I was like, yo, it's Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. It's lit.
Yeah, man.
They about to fuck everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the shit that I miss about wrestling is that mm-hmm. the sheer enjoyment of seeing the step happens. Mm-hmm. The joy of seeing Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard in the WWE. The joy of seeing Jake the Snake Roberts DDT and beat the shit out of Sting.
mm-hmm.
And WCW, the joy of seeing Mean Mark Callis as The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy all of that shit. And I guess that makes me old. Because a lot of young cats would just be like, I'm making your old ass out here. And the Royal Rumble in 1994 suck. Who the fuck is Duke the Dumpster Drosy? And all that shit.
Yeah, man.
And you'd be like, man, like you just got to tell a nigga, like, fam, you just had to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also after you tell him EAD.
Yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying.
So.
But one last thing I want to offer to that, this conversation, is this. Ladies and gentlemen, new wrestling fans that have no clue. The guy who made network wrestling the competition is gone. Okay, he's gone. He doesn't want in the business anymore. And that man's name is Eric Bischoff. Okay? Like, granted, yes, Ted Turner wanted to compete with the WWE because he's seen the kind of money that they were bringing over there. And he was like, yo, I'm a billionaire. I got a network. How come I can't get some shit popping like that? Eric Bischoff made the very crucial mistake. The very crucial mistake of trying to put the biggest promoter in the wrestling game at the time out of business. And it did not work for him. You may not like Vince McMahon. We see it on the timelines every day. You may not understand his affinity for sports entertainment, but that's why you're not the billionaire and he is, right? But one thing that you gotta salute Vince on is that he sees no competition. All he sees is talent that he can try to throw some money at to make them an even bigger star, to sell t-shirts, to serve pay-per-views, to give him and his family more money. That's what he sees. So regardless of how you like how he's shooting, the shot is going in, and he's not trying to ruin AEW. He's not trying to ruin TNA. Impact. He's not trying to ruin Ring of Honor. He's not trying to ruin New Japan Pro Wrestling. He literally want everybody out here to do something because he knows that will show him how special his product is. See, there's a thing. JR Bang made a very funny, I forgot what we were talking about, and it's probably something that we probably shouldn't even say live, but he called something RC Cola the other day in the group chat.
Oh, I forgot what it was. But it's the RC Cola or something.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck was it?
So think about RC Cola, Royal Crown Cola, okay?
I got to look at what that was. I said something was the RC.
So the thing about RC Cola is, you know what? You might not fuck with it, but hey, that's why we got Pepsi. That's why it's Coke. That's why it's Dr. Pepper exists. And you don't see anybody like, yo, man, that RC Cola gotta fucking go. Like, it's like, no, you know what? Somebody might really want this shit. Yeah. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter to me. I got Pepsi. And you don't really appreciate Pepsi until you have an RC Cola one day. You know what I mean? And, hey, and Vince McMahon came at a time where everybody had RC Cola.
Yeah.
And, man, he was trying to manufacture some Pepsi. He got resistance. But we all won in the end. Saying all that to say, man, thank you to most of you, it looks like. I'm going to say it's a slight majority of y'all that's finally getting it. Wrestling, any organization, any headquarters out of any state or city, it's for all of us to enjoy first.
Yep.
So thank you for finally starting to understand that shit.
Damn, man. I'm going to find that because that was a funny. That was funny. I said some was the RC. And like, yeah. and what's crazy is WWE, AEW, Coke or Pepsi, it don't matter. I'm a Pepsi guy.
So am I.
Yeah, so, you know, the WWE be Pepsi, even though they knew a kid's on the block, mm-hmm. whatever. But RC fine. I fuck with RC heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, if you go to fucking, like, if you go to a restaurant, a pizzeria, and they got the fast pizza with the white box,
yeah.
Nigga, they ain't got Coke or Pepsi products, nigga. They got R fucking C. They got Royal Crown, yep. Nigga.
And maybe
they
had Mr. Pim on your next.
Right. They had the blue can with the white, with the red RC in that motherfucking cursive, nigga. And you know what you did? You drunk it.
Yeah.
You drunk it with the pizza. Yeah. Yeah, the nice sausage and cheese with a cold pop. You know what?
With the extra oregano on it.
Hell yeah. Oh, nigga, so know what that means? When you watch Ring of Honor, when you watch Impact Wrestling, when you watch New Japan, nigga, that's RC. You know what? RC good than a motherfucker too.
Yeah.
Especially when you got it with some good food.
Absolutely.
Everything ain't got to be Coke or Pepsi all the time. Nigga, enjoy all that bitches. I've had all three pops in my refrigerator. Excuse me, growing up at the same time. So, mm-hmm. Shit, go ahead and drink that shit. First Absolutely. Black champ talking about this this past Friday. Some of the best, if not the best Friday of all time. SmackDown. And it's not like wrestling had a lot of great Fridays. So, you know, hey, you know, it is what it is. So, SmackDown, I guess you would say it was the SmackDown go-home show for... Crown Jewel is going to be coming up, and we're going to be giving our thoughts on that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the finalists for the SmackDown part, I guess, of the not necessarily SmackDown, because a lot of these motherfuckers going to be switching shows next week.
Mm-hmm.
But Zelina Vega versus Carmella. In a shocker to me, Zelina Vega defeated Carmella with the help. Of Liv Morgan taking the mask and all of that shit. And then Finn Balor defeated Sami Zayn in a dope match to go on to Crown Jewel on their side of their side of the bracket for Queen's Court and the King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the WWE got it right with these two being in the finals?
Yes. And yes, because we do gotta answer, like, why Zelina Vega is back, especially with the great work her husband is doing and the other company. Like, we got to make this he's make sense for both.
He's probably the greatest person in that on that side of the company right now. Hey, my. Yeah. It don't get no better than him.
He ain't falling further than fourth. I tell you that.
Right.
He ain't falling further than fourth.
He's probably made the best transition post-WWE in that.
Yeah. So Zelina Vega getting to the finals. Yeah, I'm not mad at it because, you know, and also, even though when I was speaking about this earlier in the year, I thought this was, you know, the Liv Morgan spot for, like, the new wave of young women that can actually wrestle, that just need the shot to get out the shadow of the Four Horsewomen and to actually put in some work. So off the strength that Zelina Vega is somebody that we don't even see often winning, like, matches weekly and progressing in a tournament, I think that in itself is just positive off top end. Okay. And Finn Balor, you can't go wrong with Finn Balor winning a match, right? Like, that's just, especially after what just happened to him with his demon Hexes himself.
And the ring breaking.
Yeah, and the ring breaking, man. So, yeah, you know what? I'm good. That works.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about Zelina,
mm-hmm.
but I think you would even agree with me with saying that even with that being said, Liv Morgan, like, you're right. Two things be right at the same time.
Hey.
You do got to answer, like, what is Zelina Vega being back for, especially when she could have been in AEW with her husband?
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, you seen my tweets about Liv Morgan. So I don't, so I didn't get it. Off top that she losing in the round one. I was like, huh?
Yeah. But also, and the other thing is, I could have honored the Zelina Vega shit more if she would have beat Liv.
Yeah.
Man. I could have honored it more. You know, but we got what we got. That, and I am a Zelina Vega fan, ladies and gentlemen. No stretch of the imagination. A little bit. I'm a fan a little bit. But I just, in this way, I was just like, nah. And then especially when the finalist is going to wrestle Shayna Baszler or Doudrop.
Come on now. You know Shayna Baszler is out of there. The Doudrop shit is funny. It's cool.
And you know what with the Doudrop? I fuck with Doudrop. I fucked with Doudrop in NXT UK when she was Piper Nevin. Like, I fuck with her. Let it be known, I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what they were trying to do with the Doudrop name and all that shit she making it work. Mm-hmm. And I like Doudrop versus Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I don't like it. And you as old as me, you're older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you remember this. It's like a year Kentucky went to the Final Four. And you just knew they was going to win as soon as they won in the Elite Eight. Like, whoever won the match in the Elite Eight, I can't remember who it was. But they end up facing Utah in the final.
Oh,
and you was like, because it was like Keith Van Horn's coming out party.
Yeah.
And it was like, you knew these motherfuckers going to lose. Like, it's the shit was so top heavy.
Yeah.
Like, so when Doudrop or Shayna Baszler, and I got Shayna Baszler, well, I don't know. Because, and I know what I'm about to say might sound bogus as hell, but shit, it is what it is. I don't know them people over there. Like, is the Saudi Arabia people ready to see a woman like Shayna Baszler wrestle?
I don't think they got a choice. if I'm being honest. Listen, man, Doudrop getting her little fluffy ass fucked up.
I mean,
Shayna Baszler going to win this match.
It might be a little Saudi Arabia dude. Like, yo, who the fuck is the dude?
Yeah, right, hey.
I didn't pay for this. Like, I didn't pay for this.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm being serious. I'm not, because, hell, fucking when what's-her-name had to wrestle, Natty and Lacey Evans, they had to wrestle covered up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'm pulling this out of my hat. I'm really like, Man, I don't know if they ready to see a woman like Shayna Baszler. Because even my wife be like, yo, she look like a stud that could beat everybody's ass.
Okay. That honestly could be the over point.
Right.
For her.
Hey. But you got Shayna. I can already tell you about she breaking Doudrop's arm at the thing.
I don't know if she's going to break her arm because, you know, it's a lot of fluff. Nah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say that. But, no, I just got her getting beat up, man. I mean, look, I think Doudrop versus Shayna Baszler is going to be a very competitive match. It's not going to be like these other matches, which is good. I think that is going to work out for the both of them. You know, no squashes, no injury that stops the match earlier, ends it prematurely. I think it's and I also think obviously whoever comes out of that is winning the tournament, and Zelina Vega is just basically there to show that she can get busy with either somebody twice her size or twice as strong as her.
Man, that match, if we notice, these women matches been like 2 minutes long tops.
True, and that's
so that shit's 30 seconds.
And that's wild considering the level of talent that the women have now. You know what I'm saying? I definitely remember the Cat versus Ivory being way longer than this. I definitely remember Sable.
It's not funny, but it's funny. You know what I'm saying? It's like Ivory versus Cat in a lingerie match be 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
They have a whole commercial break.
Right.
And like a half a titty be popped out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And Jerry the King Law like puppies. And
right.
It'd be a 5 to 10 minute long match.
Exactly. So I'm super confused. Like, it ain't been a Sable match this short ever. So I don't even understand it. But, you know, I do expect, what I do expect is that Zelina Vega has to put up some kind of a fight because at the end of the day, she's representing SmackDown. She's representing the B tier of SmackDown. So if the tier B of SmackDown is getting washed, who the fuck want to watch that shit? You know what I mean?
Man. So. Another thing on SmackDown this weekend. You really saw the exit of people. Like, you basically, Carmella swan song on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. The Street Profits swan song on SmackDown. They had a street fight with the Usos. Them shits. Okay. The Usos versus Street Profits on New Day is always gonna smack. And it was no different on this one.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. They had the contract signing.
Okay.
And that's where Brock Lesnar was like, oh, man, I seen this contract already. I seen it. I seen it with my advocate, Paul Heyman. Like, where is this going, man? Like, I know the seeds are sowing between the distinction of the tribal chief and their consigliere. Like, where does this go, in your opinion?
I think it goes nowhere, to be honest with you. Only because this is just Brock Lesnar playing face/mind games to get into the head of his opponent, right? But that's not what we want from Brock Lesnar. Like, we don't even want that. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
It's like, fam, do you realize what you did the last 7 years? You just start showing up and just start swinging and slinging people. Like, now you want to talk and play mind games?
Now you want to be smart, nigga? Yeah. Now you want to kick knowledge?
Yeah, like, yeah, no. Right. You know what I'm saying? Switch your flow. You shit is garbage. Would you try to kick knowledge, yeah, nigga?
Knowledge, nigga.
So I mean, I think it goes nowhere. I will admit, I don't know how this match is going to end. I will say that. That is the one positive. Like, usually when the Saudi manias happen, even if we do expect a loss, it's like some, man, what the fuck? Like Goldberg versus The Fiend, right? This, though, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, like, literally, it should happen no matter what. like Brock Lesnar winning is not a shock. Roman Reigns winning is not a shock. Both of the guys to only be The Undertaker at WrestleMania beating each other, it makes sense. No matter what the fuck happens. So, and the thing is, I don't think a Saudi Mania, I don't think they get no contest out there. Because shit, if they didn't no contest Goldberg, why do I think that they go no contest these two?
I think a winner's coming out of this.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll talk about it, but you know.
Yeah, I agree with you though. This is a match where I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, but other than that though, like, yeah, I don't. It's not going anywhere, and that's the interesting part about it. Like, usually, the buildup for Roman Reigns matches are very clear, and they're taking a whole different approach to the point it's kind of taken away from his character. Like, he's not cowering. He's not bitching up. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
And Brock Lesnar isn't. He looks dominant, but it don't look like he just know he gonna whoop Roman Reigns' ass either. So it's an interesting dynamic of like, okay, wow. This, y'all really trying to make this a pick'em for real. Okay, I respect it.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. I didn't realize that was the first time Becky Lynch got pinned in like a year and a half.
Yeah. Two. Yeah, man.
Yeah, like she's been getting a righty-righty pipe roll. Yeah.
I mean, shit. She retired the Raw Women's Champ. And had a bunch of disqualifications and no contest after winning the belt.
Yeah. Like, when you hear something you don't realize, but then you're like, yo, babies and all that shit. But even, like, before that. But of course, those two are going to smack, and they did. And we're going to talk about that match and all of the crown jewel joints. Then you slide over to AEW, while that's going on. You got CM Punk versus Matt Sydal. And I don't want to be the AEW hater camp. I swear I don't. I swear I don't. So I'm going to change that. I'm just going to say, but I am a CM Punk hater.
Okay.
A CM Punk 2021 version.
I understand.
I don't know if I'm to blame him, the company, or both. Here's why. Mm-hmm. Fam, I don't want you to be finding niggas in the locker room just to wrestle. I've been wanting to wrestle people up here. Today, I want to wrestle Jungle Boy. Well, not today, but it's going to happen at Rampage. But then on Dynamite, he'd be like the guest ring announcer. Yeah. And what kills me is that they advertise that shit like, we want to hear conversation from fucking CM Punk. I'm tired of fireside chat conversations with CM Punk, especially when motherfucking Daniel Bryan like, yo, give me everybody. Give me a beat. I need all of the beats, and I need your cold shit too. Nigga went against Minoru Suzuki. That man looked crazy. That motherfucker gave him an elbow joint that I was like, yo, Vince McMahon was not going to ever allow you to take that shit in WWE no more. Like that man, and he fought Bobby Fish the next Dynamite Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, fucking CM Punk is just wrestling random niggas, and then on the B show, but then on the A show, you got Tony Giovanni and coming up next, CM Punk is gonna be talking to us live. What does he have to say? We'll find out next. Yeah. It be the same shit. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm happy to be here in front of this crowd. You guys are awesome. I hate the WWE. Give me that wrestler right there. No, that wrestler should be Sammy Guevara, he's the TNT champ. If you want to be the fucking TV champ, nigga, go get the TV belt. Mm-hmm. No, you ain't even saying shit about Kenny Omega. What the fuck, like?
Yeah, man.
Go fight Miro.
Yeah, man.
Do something. Like, that shit whack to me, fam. Fucking fireside chats from this motherfucker.
Two things, because I actually saw Dynamite. I told y'all I got TNT, man. I'm tuned in.
TNT.
I'm tuned in.
Nigga, the streets was excited for you.
Yeah, you dig what I'm saying? We out here.
Oh, shit, that nigga, I've been waiting.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Salute to y'all.
I've been waiting.
Salute to y'all. Cause, hey, look, cause I'm going to tell y'all how I feel. I agree with you because 2 weeks of Dynamite, man, and I miss Rampage. I haven't seen any Friday wrestling. All I've seen was Saturday. That's what I had time for this morning. And I know people want to get, like, mad or think that Roman Reigns was just popping shit. But no, man. The fact that CM Punk is being used like this is that maybe, just maybe, everybody realized that he has lost a step or two.
Roman Reigns said it.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, and then he's saying, like, this does nothing for me. He's absolutely right. Because look, what I took away from Dynamite this past Saturday was, one, they gonna let the entire CM Punk intro rock no matter what he does. Like, that was one. Two,
they could be looking at the crowd, shocked as a
yeah, like, and they literally just let the
personality.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And they just really just let the whole song play. I was like, is this really just to hear the song? Or like, because he ain't about to do nothing. And then all he did,
he be waving at niggas. He be giving niggas that wave.
Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? The second thing now, he's wearing real Jordans. But number three, which is always number one, he talking. He just talking. And like I said before he even came and before I even got TNT, it's like, it ain't going to be too many pipe bombs. Like, because now he just talking shit. Like, he just talking because he got lips at this point. Literally, CM Punk ain't really holding no weight with his words. And that's disappointing from a guy who 7 years ago was calling himself the voice of the voiceless. Like, that's the most upsetting part about it. It's the most disappointing. I'm not upset. Like, I ain't even mad. Like, fuck it, right? It's disappointing, though, because obviously CM Punk is a franchise guy. Like, he's a marquee player.
Yeah, he's a cornerstone. He's a pillar.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? For AEW already, you know what I'm saying? Without one meaningful match, just the fact that he exists in the space, they've made him top tier, cornerstone franchise player of that. And honestly, out of the 2 weeks that I've watched Dynamite back to back now, first time I've watched back to back since like 2019, I don't see the value in CM Punk. Like, I just don't see the value of it. Granted, I wasn't in love with the American Dragon versus Bobby Fish to close out Dynamite, but at least Daniel Bryan is sticking to his script.
And the match smacked.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad match. It has nothing to do with me liking sports entertainment more than pro wrestling. It's just that with that roster, Bobby Fish shouldn't be closing the show. That's all. That's all. That's it. And that's a testament to the roster. That ain't me feeling a way about anything. It's like, no, you know what? That Adam Cole match with all them, maybe that should have closed the show. Like, that seemed less like some bullshit other than like last week. Like, it seemed like they was like, oh yeah, we trying to really do some real shit this week. Versus last week was just some bullshit. But again, just circling back to CM Punk and staying on CM Punk, like, I don't see the value in this. Like, we've heard Cult of Personality, and if you really enjoy music, you heard that song way before CM Punk used it for his intro. He's not talking like it's 2013. He's not wrestling like it's 2013. There is no excitement around 2013, or for that fact, even what 2016, when we were anticipating his UFC debut to see what he would actually do. Like, man, salute to you for getting your money because you're from Illinois. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I salute anybody in Illinois getting money. But fam,
always
come the fuck on with this bullshit you doing.
Yeah, this is I'm so happy to be here, like run and shit. It's really just killing me. Man. All right, man, moving over to Raw, before we talk about the sneaker battle at the end. But going over to Raw, they did their thing. Let me just start this off by saying I'm uncomfortable about something on Raw for the first time in a while.
Okay.
I'm uncomfortable with Goldberg telling Bobby Lashley he's going to kill him. Am I wrong for feeling the type of way about that?
Nah, he looked like one of them biker gang guys that would say that to a black guy in a suit.
Like, that don't strike me. It's something cool.
No, I feel you.
It's just like anytime Mayhem say that shit, like
you're dead.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna kill you and all. It's like, fam, what the fuck? This wrestling, nigga. Yeah. This ain't real life. Okay, I was wondering if you feel the same way, tweet me at Jarvan because it's just something uncomfortable with that. Like, hit me directly so I won't be. But with that being said, some shit that came from the porch said came true.
Yeah. I was going to say real quick before we get into that, because that's funny, though. But the reason why you feel that way about Bill Goldberg?
Why is it?
Is because in his, what, 25 years of wrestling? About 25 years? This is the first time he's ever sold a storyline.
That's true.
That's why. Like, you ain't used to this. Like, oh, this is he got more than 3 complete sentences?
Right. This nigga got dialogue?
It's more than, you're next.
This nigga got dialogue.
You know what I'm saying? They let him speak 3 different times in 3 different locations.
That's a great point.
When does that happen? Like, so like, literally, he don't know what to say. It's like, I'm going to kill you. You're dead. That's it. Like, yeah, what does he got?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? It's
still unnerving sometimes. Like, yeah. I get it.
It's probably because, honestly, when you see a guy like Bill Goldberg telling a black person they're dead, it's usually, nigger, you're dead. Or, yeah, I'm going to fucking kill you, nigger, you're dead.
You seen Halloween?
That's what it's usually followed by.
You seen New Halloween yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, see, I get what you're saying. Because I looked at the New Halloween and I was like, man, Michael Myers is killing all these white people. He killing a lot of white people. Oh, he fucking them up.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, can they at least pinch the bitch? Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm not even going to say it's just racial overtones. It's under.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Based off what you know.
Right, man, I just don't like the way you're saying that to him.
Damn, I don't like the way you're saying this shit.
Yeah, it's like thugs. It's like thugs in sports media.
Right, yeah. So, but no, maybe Saudi Arabia likes that shit.
Hey, yeah, hey.
Oh, no, but Bobby Lashley had his stare down with Goldberg. Mm-hmm. We also had some King of the Ring matches, that one of which one of our members on the show, it was only 2 of us, called it. And like, when he really went as far as to say it's going to be Finn Balor versus him, you know, at Crown Jewel. And that is, unfortunately, John Paul defeating Kofi Kingston to move on to the semifinals of the King of the Ring. Just really go into your view of that shit and why you was right.
I mean, hey, man, I looked at the tournament and we were talking about the draft and we seen that homie is back on SmackDown. His greatest run was on SmackDown. And, you know, honestly, to rewind back to just New Day content, New Day podcast content, You know why I kind of felt like Kofi Kingston wasn't getting up the first round? Also, when I really sat and thought about it after the show.
Why? Because we might have it the same way.
Because Kofi mentioned one time that I think one time back in like 2010 or 11, he was supposed to ring King of the Ring. And he was like, so wait a minute. I'll be King Kofi Kingston? Like, we want to think about that just a little bit. And he was like, oh, yeah, the KKK. Oh, shit. Like, the black dude's the KKK. And I was like, yeah, his name still ain't changed. You know what I'm saying? It's still Kofi Kingston. You can call him King Kofi all you want to. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But also with that, man, it's just, again, man, it's give back season for Kofi. Kofi been giving back. Kofi, we not really putting it together like that. Because usually, see, again, another one of these situations where Kofi Kingston is doing what CM Punk
thinks he's
doing.
And they supposedly homies. Oh, you should tell this homie, like, yo, you're going about this wrong.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, he's put over the Street Profits. He's put over the Usos. He's put over Big E and Xavier Woods in a lot of ways. He's, you know what I'm saying? Him and Randy obviously helped put each other over left and right. And now, you know, he put over Jinder Mahal. What better way for Jinder Mahal to make you rewind than him beating one of the last WWE champions? Clean, mind you, because it makes sense. And I think it was the Through the Table podcast was reposting the one dude, the dumbass, the tweet that I feel is a dumbass tweet. You know what I'm saying? About, like, first of all, man, y'all some goofballs for this reason, right? Y'all want the New Day explode so bad.
Man, go ahead.
No pause. Y'all deserve that. And y'all talking about the story writes itself. Xavier Woods going over on Kofi and they shake hands at the end. Huh?
They've made it very clear that they don't want to wrestle.
No. Yeah. And not only that. Come on, man. That looked like politics and bullshit. Y'all want to talk about bad booking? What is worse booking than Xavier Woods beating his friend to go to the finals of the King of the Ring? Then he should really get his ass beat because you obviously didn't have to go through much to get there. And I've said this so many times on social media. I'm going to say it right here. Xavier Woods going over on Kofi Kingston is, you know what I'm saying, friends in politics. Kofi Kingston going over on Jinder Mahal, who happens to be one of the longest reigning WWE champions of the last 5 years, is a stat. And he adds that to the stat of beating Bobby Lashley, the WWE champion of this year, most of this year, and being in the cell, Hell in the Cell. Right. Hey, you know what? And you know what? After looking at it, I would love for Xavier Woods to beat Jinder Mahal and Finn Balor and be the King of the Ring, because what would happen for him is that now you established all three of the New Day members as their own individual success. Two of them are the WWE champion. One of them beats the most star-studded King of the Ring lineups ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, shit, Steve Austin beat Savio Vega and Jake past his prime.
Ah, God.
Yo, Xavier Woods could be Ricochet, Jinder Mahal, and Finn Balor and be King of the Ring. But now also, though, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but you know what? Jinder Mahal then has the route of beating Kofi, beating Xavier Woods, and beating fucking Finn Balor. So, again, one of them is going to look extremely impressive after this shit.
I get it. I'm perplexed. I get it. But it's like the Gemini meme, man. I'm perplexed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I get it. They said they don't want to wrestle each other. They don't want to even insinuate that it's a breakup and all of that shit, too. And them beating each other, like wrestling each other, then hugging at the end. Excuse me. Nah, that's whack as fuck. Thinking back on, like listening back to last week's pod and hearing you, I think it was the right decision. Not only was it the right decision, I'm going as far as to say that, and I know this might sound bogus as fuck, considering he expressed interest, but if we're going to do it like this, he shouldn't be King of the Ring, Xavier Woods. He shouldn't be. It should be. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody but him. But it goes back to what I said. Like, so is Kofi the odd man out, so to speak? Like, that's when the questions start coming. When it's just them two. And, like, they pass cross, but nothing else. Like, that's when the weird shit will come. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come soon, as long as they keep, like, needling at potentials and shit. But Jinder Mahal versus Finn Balor works. And it, to me, it works better than Xavier Woods. Even though he's been getting it in. The reason why is because, like, simply put, it's you don't want the New Day to explode. It is what it is at that point. If anything, you would wonder if, like, somebody will lead a helping hand or whatever. But other than that, like, nah. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is at this point when it comes to Jinder Mahal. He gets on the TV screen. We hate him. Mm-hmm. He guess he works out another injury or some shit. And then it's just like, whatever. You don't want to do that with the New Day. Leave the New Day alone. But Jinder Mahal versus Finn Balor is going to smack. Yeah. And I hate saying what I'm about to say. It would not surprise me if Jinder Mahal wins.
Hey, welcome. Welcome.
Nah,
but hey, it's cool.
Because when I saw that, I was like, fuck, this ain't right. Fuck, man. And honestly, when the last time somebody got some shit because from the WWE that they just, other than a release, was like, oh, I gotta have that. Right. Yeah, it's just bad all around, though, man. Jinder Mahal, y'all know, if y'all been around the show, y'all know how I feel about Buddy. But maybe it's the best for them. But Xavier Woods, just because, hey. I want to be King of Rings. So, you know what? I want $1 million. It is what it is.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It literally is what it is. And, I mean, listen, man. Kofi's going to retire soon. I don't know if y'all know this, but Kofi's going to retire soon. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say if Kofi Kingston is around past WrestleMania 40 and we're about to go to 38, I'll be shockingly surprised. It's almost to the point where I'll be shocked if he gets to WrestleMania 40 in a performing capacity. I almost expect that to be the year he's inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm almost expecting that. So, you know. So it's too late for that. Maybe if the New Day didn't work, and it didn't work so fucking well, then you could have them wrestle each other and all that other bullshit that y'all...
Right, yeah.
That Vince has conditioned y'all to like.
But we got that going on. We got Bobby... Well, Goldberg wanted to kill Bobby Lashley, the black man, and all of that stuff. And I just don't like that. Then we got Big E. So let's go ahead and go to these Crown Jewel joints. Let's just go ahead and get to these crown jewel joints, because really everything, I mean, the only other part about that is Juve dropping and Shayna Baszler, we talked about that. So we already got our predictions, which basically aligns with each other. So, I mean, everything is revolving around Saudi Mania. It's revolving around Crown Jewel. So ain't too much left to talk about other than what might happen on Thursday at 12 noon Eastern. So I think 11 o'clock Central, Crown Jewel will be hitting Peacock as the team slides over to Saudi Arabia. I think Rhea Ripley lost that bag, too. With the championship in it. So hopefully she get that shit back. All right, man. So let's start at the bottom. They both had some fiery promos to go home. And now we got Edge versus Seth Rollins in the Hell in the Cell. Who you pick?
Because it's not over, Edge. It's not over. And they both got drafted to Raw. So, I don't like, it's a testament to Seth Rollins that they always trade his feuds with him, but I hate
how they draw out his feuds. I got Edge here on this one. He has to win the feud. Like, so I think I'm going to go that way. Yeah, I'm going to go with Edge. Queen's Crown Champion. We both picked Shayna Baszler, so Shayna Baszler versus Lil' Bit. I think we all got Lil' Bit, correct? I mean, excuse me, Shayna Baszler.
No, I got Shayna Baszler.
We got Shayna Baszler beating Lil' Bit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
All right, so moving on to the King of the Ring finals. It looks like we both picking Finn Balor versus
Well, look, the fist says Xavier Woods.
I got Jinder Mahal winning it.
My mind is telling y'all Jinder Mahal like I did last week,
man. And I got Jinder Mahal becoming the king of the ring.
Yeah, man.
The Maharaja. Here's why I can't.
Yeah, man.
I can't see Finn Balor as the King of the Ring. How the WWE wants their King of the Ring to be. Here's what I'm talking about here. There's Bret Hart winning the King of the Ring, which he ain't really give a fuck about. And there's Owen Hart winning the King of the Ring. And not necessarily being the king, put the crown on me and everything, but he exudes the King of the Ring. There's a difference between Brock Lesnar winning it and King Mabel. I think the WWE wants that person who wins to be a king-like figure. I can only see that from two people, and one of them is going to lose. The other one is not. That's why I'm picking Jinder Mahal. Unfortunately.
Hey, listen, man. Little sidebar for y'all, man. No great king is a face. All right? Think about all the great kings you've seen. When you've seen Hacksaw Jim Duggan, what was it? He had snot getting knocked out of his face every week. When the Junkyard Dog was the king, it looked like he got lynched out there by Harley Race and them. When Bret Hart was the king as a face, he got his ass beat as soon as he put the crown, before he could even put the crown on good. Jerry Lawler came out here and beat his ass.
Yep.
But you know what kings you do remember? The King of Hearts, Owen Hart. You remember Austin 3:16 and that king. So you remember Triple H vaguely being the king. Yeah. But he was a heel.
Yeah.
He's a heel in real life as well as a heel on the screen. The Macho King.
Yes, he
is. Macho King is one of the greatest kings ever in life.
He's the best one of
including Henry the Eighth. And he was a heel. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's just King Corbin. Look, fuck with it or not.
Yeah.
The best Baron Corbin run is King Corbin.
He's owning this one.
Because he sold the show.
All right, man. So we don't have to go there. Do you think they I don't want to be a dick. I'm sorry. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. Does Goldberg kill Bobby Lashley? All right. RK-Bro versus AJ Styles and Omos. You saw Riddle get his ass beat by Omos. Omos even did a kick. So, hey. Who you got in that one?
Yeah, yeah. I really have always been going AJ and Omos because I am still waiting for Randy Orton versus Riddle.
That's going to happen soon. Still waiting on it. Sooner rather than later. All right, we got Big E versus Drew McIntyre. We black champs. So we stand black champ.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, and I hate to play the politics, but Drew McIntyre is going to SmackDown.
Yeah, well, I'll say that for a little bit later. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Mm-hmm. Who we got?
So I'm kind of on the fence here because I kind of think Bianca Belair is going to win this match. However, though, everything that has Becky retaining and her and Charlotte doing the title swap just makes sense. Like, when I really thought about it, damn, Sasha Banks is not going to win this match at all.
Yeah.
Because there's already a champ on Raw and SmackDown. They just got the wrong titles. So what I'm expecting, whether the swap is between Becky and Charlotte or Bianca and Charlotte, I think that's going to happen. I'm thinking ahead. I think that we're going to see Bianca Belair versus Charlotte at Survivor Series. I think that's the match we're going to get. So that's why I got Bianca Belair winning this match. This is kind of my guarantee, but not really. So I'm telling y'all that I'm picking Bianca Belair to win this match. They're going to swap belts, her and Charlotte, and then they're going to meet at Survivor Series. Because the champs face the champs.
I don't know what that was over here. It's just scared the shit out of me. But nah, man, I was going to go with Bianca. But the only reason why I didn't, because Bianca's going up against Charlotte, and I think that's something they want to do. And then, of course, they want to keep the blue belt on the blue brand, red belt on the red band. So my prediction here is Sasha Banks will become, once again, the SmackDown Women's Champion. Big E versus Drew McIntyre. As I already said, that the black champ is going to reign supreme on that one. But the other one and the final world champion is Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus Brock Lesnar. How does this play out? All right.
So, after thinking about it, I'm trying to think. I'm overanalyzing this match, by the way, fellas. And I'm letting y'all know that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening, I'm overanalyzing this. And what I'm overanalyzing is this. In some cities, the bloodline is so far over that it's disgusting. Right? So, I could see Brock Lesnar winning this match, being the champ, all because of Paul Heyman. And it just puts them over in the other cities. Like the cities that don't fuck with them, now we'll fuck with them. Because Brock Lesnar destroying or just beating down the bloodline by himself just doesn't seem realistic. And I know it's wrestling, but come on, man. Like some about that. Something about him dismantling the bloodline just don't make sense to me. I would rather Roman Reigns get screwed out the title by Paul Heyman. And that be the reason.
There's no sure winner here. Because of everything that you said early in the pod and now. Like,
yeah.
It's really just one of those situations where I'm happy that we don't know. I think that's the best way I want to put it. Instead of overanalyzing. Because we've watched wrestling for so long, we see certain storylines, we like, oh, I know that's how that's going to end. And you might have that idea when it comes to Paul Heyman. But the fact of the matter is, we're going into a match at a very big pay-per-view. And we don't know who's going to win the last match of the night.
Yeah.
Which my guarantee that I'm going to use is Brock Lesnar's going to win that belt. I think you had said it. Like, this is leading up to something. And people are starting to chant, acknowledge me now. Here's the other part that came out a couple of weeks ago, last week. Roman Reigns is apparently his merch is rivaling John Cena. He's supposed to be the heel. I think by WrestleMania he's gonna be the face. He'll be a face of the company.
Man,
you can't like you have people that really fuck with this shit. And when he be like, acknowledge me, it's like NWO in 1997.
They're like,
I acknowledge you.
Hey, East Coast, East Coast got on board quick.
And Vince like, yo, you got what you wanted. You got full autonomy,
Jose.
Boom, boom, boom. And now that person is going to be the voice of God in certain, like, it's going to be a wild time, man, when it comes to this shit on Thursday, to the point where even when you look down at the card, though, I mean, we make our predictions, but I'm really interested if they're going to let Bobby Lashley go over on Goldberg again. I am very interested in that shit. If this Ed Seth Rollins thing is gonna, like, are they gonna hold it back? But are they really gonna end it? Because both of them are going over the Raw.
Right. Well, I think I picked Edge, right? Because I think in a lot of ways, I think he's about to merge the Drip God with the Monday Night Messiah. And to do that, I think you got to lose. I think you got to take an L to come back with character change. We'll see what Goldberg's knee says about going over Bobby Lashley. We'll see what that says. You know what I'm saying? Because that Saudi walkaway is even
like
longer.
Like WrestleMania long.
I remember right. Alright,
man. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Unless they had something for the pre-show. Alright, so before we get... go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. We're almost.
No, I thought you were going to...
Because we got Top Dollar versus the show. Young Bucks.
Go ahead.
For Top Dollar for Hit Row, just a little tidbit for those who don't know Top Dollar from Hit Row.
Yeah.
It was a tweet that he talked about the sneakers. Everybody wearing Jordan mids. All of the white. I said I was going to say something that offended white people later in the show. I think this is the time I'm going to offend y'all. So Top Dollar did a diss song and everything. The Young Bucks had put out a diss about having more matches or more money than the whole NXT roster, whatever like that, right? Here's why I make white people mad. you know that wrestling is white. Say this again. You know when wrestling is white, when four white guys come out the TV with some Jordan mids on, and now y'all classify that as drip. Stop it, y'all. Y'all not even wearing the shoes right.
And wrestling is already the whitest sport next to NASCAR. Y'all somehow imagine it's nothing against
Top Dollar because Top Dollar raps. But the fact that we having a debate around wearing Jordan mids in a wrestling ring is white people in. Peak white people, and I can see it right now. I can see somebody running up to the Dolphins PR people. Mm. Oh, you got to do a whole bunch of tweets around Jordan mids. Facebook too. We got to get the engagement up, bruh. This right here, I was just like, and it's white people putting their shoes together, wrestling in Jordan ones, like. It's like seeing CM Punk, who we never noticed a pair of shoes on CM Punk his whole existence. All of a sudden, delivering Jimmy John's.
Right.
And Jordan mids. Like, this is the one time when white people, I need y'all to stop white people.
Yeah. Yeah, Right.
And that's what.
And CM Punk definitely looks like an Asics or New Balance guy anyway. Off the rip. Australia.
It's the tweet. Hold on. Let's see if I can find the tweet.
I gotta watch it. I missed the next thing too. I missed
the tweet before we get out of here. You hit the nail on the head. Hold on.
Now that's funny. Yeah, like CM Punk does, like he even the way he's growing his facial hair on his Jordan face, it doesn't look like he wears glasses. Jordan mids. It looks like he wears Asics.
Let me go get these glasses on. I got to find this tweet because I got to read the tweet because this is really what got everything kicked off. Excuse me. Here's the tweet right here. Some of y'all favorite wrestlers only wear sneakers on camera to seem cool and hip. But in real life, they only rock Vans and Asics exclusively. Y'all ain't ready to have that conversation. This is why I said this is a case of white people link. Here's why. And here's I'm going to end this part. You can say whatever the fuck you want to after this camp, but here's the thing. It's funny that white people were coming up there in Jordan mids, right? Because I can only imagine before it was cool, a black person trying to come up there with some Jordan 11s.
Great point there. And you know what? And since we are starting the conversation outside of Top Dollar, because we know why you would be wearing them. I don't want to hear shit about sports entertainment or the McMahon family when the original white dude to put white wrestling fans onto Jordan 1s was Shane McMahon. Like, Mike, drop. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear shit about anybody else because I'll never forget when here comes the money and he came out with silver fox-ass comb-back hair, his own baseball jersey, and the original Jordan 1.
That's why I'm saying.
The only thing he had to mids on that first time.
I'm going to make white people mad. Because the Young Bucks come up there with some mids. It's like, oh, man. Chris Jericho pop up with some mids. Oh. CM Punk walk up there with some mids. Oh. Shane McMahon walk up in there with some mids. It was, niggas wrestling in mids now? Come on,
right.
Man.
Like, come on, man. Like, y'all gotta Y'all got to cite your sources correctly.
For the first time.
Google don't start when you Google. Motherfucker. Yeah, like, it don't start when you seen
and
it.
And the crazy thing.
It start when it happened. Y'all got to get used to that.
Hey, certain last shit thing don't I want is one of these wrestlers to pop up with some FUBU.
It's way before that. No, hey, listen.
Hey, man.
And I want somebody to
hey, man, get Kevin Nash did too have, like, the FUBU jerseys on deck.
Because I'm not having it.
He used to have it. So, yeah, man, my guarantee, man, my guarantee is Brock Lesnar will become the champ. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, Brock Lesnar's going to win the championship. They need something for they need something for Survivor Series. So maybe it's a return match. What's your guarantee?
I dig it. My guarantee, I'm still going to stick with Bianca Belair winning the triple threat match at Saudi Mania 7 or 8. I think it's Saudi Mania 7, though. And they're doing the belt swap between her and Charlotte, since Charlotte is now on SmackDown, because they are waiting to see Charlotte versus Bianca Belair at Survivor Series. I got one more thing, though. Because, you know, we didn't really talk about AEW a lot this show. I got something to say about Dynamite. And the guy I actually like, Hangman Adam Page. What I'm going to tell all of you out there today is that, one, I'm tired of being the new ass in professional wrestling. Yeah. Like, every single segment. But, hey, listen, Raw 2, and it ain't fly over there either, but every single segment, somebody gets the S word off, and it's really annoying, right? Insert Hangman, Adam Page, real cowboy shit, which I love the angle of it, but bang, never do I ever in my life want to hear the contender for a world title talking about how he don't even think he gonna win the fucking match.
Man.
Like, fam, you're supposed to be selling the pay-per-view. You talking about you gonna give me real cowboy shit, and you can't even definitively say, I'm gonna win this match, or I'm gonna beat your ass, or I'm walking out the champ. Like, when do we stop? When do we stop doing that? When do we, as wrestling fans, why do we as wrestling fans have to honor our professional wrestlers not even telling us they even want to win the match? He literally said, and hey, look, you know what? I can't tell you I'm going to win or lose. I'm going to give you some real cowboy shit, though. It's fam, funny. You don't get your cowboy Curtis ass the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you talking about, fam? If you don't fucking say you about to whoop somebody's ass, I just had that same conversation with
somebody the other day about just saying the shit at the end of the day. Don't elude, like, get the fuck out of here. So we gonna see, man. Crown Jewel is coming up next Thursday. And just like how we ended this, when we started this podcast, you know how we ended this one, man, just be a lover of professional wrestling, man. That's it. Y'all did a good job on Friday. And then Saturday, too. Word. Like, facts. It was a great night. People had their iPads and their computers or their TV and their iPad, had different different ways of trying to see some great wrestling. In a way that we didn't get a chance to do. You know, so just start watching the product, man. And if you want to give criticism to the platform, to your platform, talking about this, that's cool. But don't sound overbearing like you got all the motherfucking answers either. And you know what? That's the best way of ending that shit right there.
Man, because your eyes definitely don't. You need to shut the floor is yours.
It was the best time to say shut the fuck up.
Though.
Just go.
You know what I mean? We appreciate it. My bad. We appreciate it. Yeah, you know what I mean? No, yeah, it's cool. No, listen, we appreciate y'all listening to us. You know, likes, comments, shares, interactions. Is greatly appreciated. Thank you to Mook and others that were happy that
I've never
TNT.
Seen so many you know, niggas get excited about another nigga in town that wasn't
on
cool.
The first Black Champ account. Hey, you know what I'm saying? That's because they expect that fire wrestling content from this platform right here, and we greatly appreciate that, man, and we are not going to stop anytime soon. So, man, as always, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast, Camp Bang. We